We begin the current daf Masechta Nedarim daf Nun Alf. We begin on the bottom of daf Nun Mabez, three lines up at the bottom of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, discussing the relationship between Bar Kapara and Rebbe, where the Gemara was talking about those Talmidim who were poor, those who had extravagance of wealth, and Rebbe was very wealthy, and Bar Kapara wasn't invited to the wedding. I think we'll continue discussing that wedding later on this daf. So the Gemara tells us that Yom the Mechayich Bei Rebbe, a day when Rebbe would laugh. Asya Puranosal Alma, punishment would come to the world, and that is as the Mefarshim explained, because Rebbe was the leader, and he had that responsibility for the world, and if he was laughing, that would lessen some type of that compensation of what Rebbe's pain for the world was, and therefore, if he would laugh, punishment would come to the world. So Amalei Bar Kapara, so Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, Loi Tavdichon, don't make me laugh, and then V'Havinu Loch Arbon Garvichiti, for that reward that you're not going to make me laugh, I'll give you 40 measurements of wheat. So Amalei, so Bar Kapara responded to Rebbe, Lach Zimar, okay, fine, let's see, it sounds like a good deal, as we continue on top of Nanav Menav, T'chol Griva De'Be'ina Shekilna, but whatever measurement I want to use for these measurements of wheat, I get to choose. So Shokel di Kula Rabba, so he took a large basket, Chafi Kufra. He went now and he covered it in with tar so that there was a few strands of wheat shouldn't slip through the holes in the basket. And all this was in one big jest. Vesach Al Reshe, and then he turned it upside down on either on its head or on his head. V'azav Amrle, and now he came to Rebbe with this basket upside down on his head, which all tarts and nothing could drip out of it. He says, Lech Limar, let the master measure for me Arboin Girvichiti Dereshein Lebach, the 40 measurements of wheat that I lent you, which was also a joke, as if Rebbe borrowed from him. Rebbe was very wealthy. So Rebbe started laughing. So Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, Lavaz Harasach Delei Tavatchen, didn't I tell you don't make me laugh? So Bar Kapara kept on going with this. He says, what do you mean? I'm just coming to collect my wheat that I lent you, that you owe me. So the Gemara continues with the incident from the previous daf. Amalei Bar Kapara labarte de Rebbe. So Bar Kapara said to the daughter of Rebbe, Lamachar, tomorrow, the wedding of your brother of Shimon, Shasina Chamra, I'm going to be drinking wine, Berikud de Avuch, with your father who's going to dance in front of me before I drink, Uvikirkani de Imach, and with your mother's croaking and singing that your mother's going to sing in front of me before I drink by the wedding. Now, however, Ben Elasha chasne de Rebbe Hava. Ben Elasha was the son-in-law of Rebbe, and Va'asher Gadol Hava, and he was a very wealthy individual, as we're going to see towards the end of this incident, and therefore he couldn't bear things where they were beneath a certain level of etiquette. So the Gemara tells us that Azmini Lebehi Lula de Rebbe Shimon Rebbe, as we said in the previous daf, Bar Kapara was invited to the wedding of Rebbe Shimon, the son of Rebbe. So Amalei Bar Kapara Rebbe, so at the wedding, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Mai Toy Eva. What does the pasuk mean when it talks about homosexuality in the Torah? It calls it that it's an abomination. What does that mean? So the Gemara tells us that called the Amalei Rebbe the Hachin Hu Ta'eva, whatever interpretation Rebbe gave to Bar Kapara to define for him, what does Ta'eva mean? Parcha Bar Kapara, Bar Kapara refuted and showed that that's not the interpretation. So Rebbe said to Bar Kapara, okay, Parshat, you explain, what does it mean? So Amalei Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Tesi de Veischi, tell your wife to come here, Tirmin li natla, and that she should pour for me a small cup. So Asas Ramile, so his wife came and poured for him the cup. So Amalei Rebbe, then he said to Rebbe, Kum rukoid li de emalach, dance for me, that I should tell you the answer of this interpretation. So then, Hachem Rachman, after Rebbe danced, he said, this is what the Torah is saying. Toyev, it's an abomination, it's a contraction, it's a compound word of Taya Ataba, that you are straying with this. In other words, you're leaving the laying of a woman and you're going to a male. That is something that you're straying with. That's what Toyeva ba. Toyeva means Toya Ataba, that what are you leaving from the female, which is what's meant for you, and going to a male. Now, Lakasa Achrino, when he wanted another cup of wine, Amalei, he said to Rebbe, my tevel. What does it mean in the Torah when it says by a woman that engages in bestiality with an animal, that it calls it that it's tevel? So Amalei, so Rebbe said to him, and as the Gemara says, ki inyon de kadmo, like it was the first time around by the first cup. So Amalei, so Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, I ividly do for me these things, doimloch, that I should tell you what the interpretation is. So Avad, so he did for him these things. Amalei, and then Bar Kapara said to him, Tevel hu, when the Torah says tevel hu, it means to say, tavlin yeshba? Is there any spice to this? In other words, mishan yohad de biyam and kulan bias? Is this bia, this cohabitation, any different than any other cohabitation? In other words, you have to leave your species to go from a human to go to an animal? What type of spice is this? How is this more enjoyable than cohabitation with a human? Again, Amar Lei, Bar Kapara said to Rebbe, Umay zima, what does the pasuk mean when it talks about someone sending his daughter for znus, for immorality, that it says that it's zima? What does zima mean? So Amar Lei, so he said to him, again, Evid, do for me, kinyan kadmo, like we did the first time, and Oved, so Rebbe did for him. And then he explained to me, says that zima means, again, it's a compound word of zu, this, mahi, what is it? In other words, a term of doubt. We don't know who she's pregnant from. As the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Yevamos Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, it refers to like when one man has relations with many women, or one woman, as in this case the daughter, has relations with many men. Now we don't know who she became pregnant from, and that is who the daughter that's brought in to the world comes out, that a father will end up marrying his daughter and a brother is marrying his sister. And that's what the pasuk there says when it uses this term, Malah Arad Zima, that the world will be filled with Zima. In other words, the whole world is Zumahi. Who is this person? You don't know who this woman is that you're going to marry, if she's permitted to you or not, again, because of the immorality. Now the Gemara tells us that La Yochel ben Elasha Lemizbal, the son-in-law of Rabbi ben Elasha, a very wealthy individual, could not tolerate this anymore, what Bar Kappa was doing to his father-in-law here at the wedding of his own son. So him and his wife got up and left the wedding. Now the Gemara tells us, my ben Elasha, what is this that we're talking about ben Elasha? Where do we know that he was so wealthy that we're saying he couldn't deal with this type of behavior at the wedding? The time like we learned the Braisa. It's not for nothing that ben Elasha went and spent a lot of his money. Just that he wanted to be taught how to get the haircut of the high priest of the Kohen Gadol. To say, like it says, the pasuk in Yechezkel, Chosloim yichsimu es resheim. The haircut of the Kohen Gadol was that it should be chosloim. Now that's related cognate to the word kusmis, to spelt. And that is, as Rashi explains in Yechezkel, that spelt, the way it's in the stalk, is that one edge of the spelt is at the edge of the other grain of the spelt. And as we learn Tanna, as we learn the Braisa, the haircut of the Kohen Gadol, which is what Ben Elasha wanted because of his, as an aristocrat, is Ke'in Lulinus. As the Gemara says, my Lulinus. So Amar Behuda says, Tesparti Chidasa, means a unique and beautiful haircut. Hey Chidami, how's this haircut? So Amar Rav, he says, again like the spelt, Reishe Selzeh B'tzad Ikari Shalzeh. It's exacting that no hair goes over the other strand of hair. That is, one hair ends at the beginning of the other hair. So that's exactly behind the Tasper Shal Kohen Gadol. That was the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. And that's what Ben Elasha spent a lot of money so he can get exactly that method of having the haircut made exact like that, which was a certain unique and beautiful type of a haircut. Now the Gemara resumes the discussion of our Mishnah where we said that when someone says he's a kainim forbidden as a neder to have from a tassel, from a cooked dish, so we mentioned previously that he's going to be permitted in the beitza turmata, or as the Gemara quotes over here, ubidlas remutza, or the remutza gourd, which gourd is a type of a fruit with a tough skin. So, and that is, as we said, in the Mishnah, because it's anything that's not eaten with the bread. And this gourd is not eaten with bread. So the Gemara wonders, my delas harmutza, what is this remutza gourd? So Amar Shmuel says it's kara karkozoi, meaning it's based on the place was remutza from karkozoi. That's that type of a gourd is not considered a tafsel. Rav Ashi, I mean, he says is the last hatmuna beremetz, not a certain type of a gourd. The remutza is from the term of remetz, which are hot coals. A gourd that's concealed, that's insulated in hot ashes. That is, as Tosfos says, that's not included in being a cooked dish because it's not cooked. It's actually put into these hot ashes, that's a delas remutza. Now, Eisvei Ravina Rav Ashi, Ravina asks on this interpretation of Rav Ashi that it wasn't a certain type of a gourd, it was just how it was cooked, that it wasn't bishul, but rather it was hatmana. On that he asks, but we learned in the Braisa from the Chemi Omer, he says, delas aramis, this Aramic gourd, he delas hamitz, is really the same thing as the Egyptian gourd. And therefore, kalayim ima yevanis, they are different types of species, and therefore they would be considered forbidden mixture with the Greek one, and so to kalayim aramutze, it would be considered klayim, because it's a different type of a gourd, with the remutza type of a gourd. Now, therefore, obviously we see, Ravina's asked Ravashi, that it doesn't mean remutza, that how it's cooked, because we see obviously that rather it's a type of a gourd, which is called remutza, and that's what's giving the klayim, because if it's any gourd, it's just how it's cooked, then that wouldn't be klayim with other types of gourds. And therefore the Gemara says, you're right, Tiyufta, it's a refutation of the interpretation of Ravashi, and must be that it's like Shmuel said, that it's a certain location which was called remutza, which was this karakarkozai, that's what the last remutza is, and that's obviously something that is just not called a tavshal. Again, as we said, anything that's not even bread is not considered a tavshal, and therefore something that makes a kind of a tavshal is permitted in this delas remutza. Now the Gemara continues quoting, and we have in our girsa that this is a new Mishnah, which the Mefarshim already wonder that this Mishnah was already taught in its entirety on Daf Mem Testament Aleph, and therefore there are those who say that this is just quoting the Mishnah, but be that as it may, the Mishnah tells us, if someone takes a neder, forbidding himself from what's called a maitse gedera, so then, although that literally means to say anything that's made in a pot, but the halacha is ein asa elim maitse ras chasa, it's you're only forbidden from something that's scalded, which is a reference to the porridge or farinas, that those are things that are boiled hot, that's what we refer to these grits. They're what's commonly known as maitse gedera, and we know that nedarim yohalach acha loshem in the adam. However, Amma, but if he says, that anything that goes into a pot, meaning that's going to be cooked in the pot, I'm taking a neder that I'm not going to taste, then obviously you're forbidden anything that's made in a pot, because here you said explicitly that it should mean anything that's cooked in a pot. Whereas when you use the term maisa gedera, since colloquially that's commonly used for this certain type of a dish, then therefore you'd only be forbidden in that dish. Related to this discussion, the Gemara says, Tani lo na braisa, hanoida min hayorid likadera. As we said in the Mishnah, if someone makes a neder from anything that goes into a pot, so asa b'yared le'ilpas, so he's also forbidden in something that goes into a pan. The reason being is not because a pan is the same as a pot, they're actually different processes, but it's because shekava yared le'kadera koidim shayared le'ilpas. And that is because the way they used to fry their food in the ilpas, in this pan, they would first heat it up a little bit in a pot, and therefore, it's considered a yored l'kedera, even that's yored l'ilpas, because whatever was yored l'ilpas was first yored l'kedera. Now, however, if he says min yored l'ilpas, if he takes a neder forbidding himself from anything that goes into a pan, well, then obviously mutter be yored l'kedera, he would be permitted in something that's put into a pot, because those which were cooked were never put into a pan; they were only put into a pot. Those which were put in the pan were also put in the pot. Which the Ran therefore wonders, so what would be the chiddush of this halacha? So he says that there is a chiddush over here. And that is because you shouldn't say that whatever is heated up a little bit in a pot that's now ready to be put into the pan, because that's how they used to make their yared l'ilpas. They would first put it into, cook it in a pot. So therefore maybe you would think you'd call it yared l'ilpas, because now it's ready to be put into the pan. Even though you didn't put it in, it was only put into a pot, that's the chiddush of the braisa, that know that if it only went into a pot, then it's not called yared l'ilpas, and therefore it would be permitted for a yared l'ilpas. It's only forbidden what actually went into the pot. Now, however, but if it wasn't the words yared l'kedera, rather min hanasa b'kedera, if he said that anything that was made in a pot, then here it's different than when he says yared l'kedera. Here it's mutter b'nasa ilpas. Then he's permitted anything that was made in a pan. The reason being is because the term nasa connotes its conclusion, when it was finished. Therefore, it's permitted in something that was made in a pan, because even though, as we said, whatever is yored l'ilpas first went into a pot, but since its conclusion, it's when it's finished, was not made in a pot, it was only made in a pan, so it's not considered in hanasa b'gedera. So therefore, what was nasa b'ilpas will be permitted. Now, min hanasa b'ilpas, so too, if something that was made in a pan, mutter b'nasa b'gedera is going to be permitted something that was made, meaning finished, in a pot, where seemingly this is for sure not a chiddush. On that, the Ran explains that no, here the chiddush is even if after that it was made in the pot and finished, but then it was fried in the ilpas, it's still going to be permitted again, because that would seemingly be something that's nasa b'ilpas. It's not, because since it was concluded, it was already made in the gedera, so it's not going to be included in hanasa b'ilpas, even if it subsequently went into an ilpas, and that's where it was, that the last process that you did, but since it was already finished in the gedera, it's not considered in to be hanasib ilpas. Now the Braisa continues and says, "Hanoyrid min hayorid latanim." Someone makes a neder from anything that goes min hayorid latanim, from that which goes into the oven. Se'ein asa elav pas. Then it's only forbidden in bread, because generally when a person says something that goes into the oven, it's usually that means bread. But vim amar kol ma'itzat taner alai. But if he says that anything that's made in the oven is forbidden to me, well then asa b'chal nasa b'tan. Then obviously it would be forbidden anything that's made in the oven, no matter what's made. Even if let's say a blintz was made, that would be included. It's just when you say the term yorid l'taner, that's generally in lush b'ni adam means to say bread. And again, as we said, the halacha of nedarim is your lahalach acha lush b'ni adam. Now, Gzeirat Tamid Beis, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, which continues on the theme of this Mishnah, this parak about Lashem and the Adam, what's included in the terminology and the definition to define your neder. So the Mishnah says, Min HaKavish, if someone takes a neder of admitting himself from something that was pickled, that's preserved, so then, Ein Aser Ele Min HaKavish Al Yerek, then he's only forbidden from vegetables, from these greens that are preserved. Now, the reason being is because since he said, from that which hakovish, from that which is preserved, that sounds like which is commonly preserved, which generally, it's greens, these vegetables are generally preserved, so that's what's included, but not other things that would be preserved. But, kovish on Italian, but if he says that I want to be forbidden from any that which is pickled, from that I will taste, so then therefore he's going to be forbidden in all things that are pickled. Now the reason here is because since he didn't mention hakovish, that which is known as which is pickled, so then just saying kavish, that which is pickled, which would mean anything that's pickled. Now, according to this interpretation of this halach of the Mishnah, the reason why the word sha'ani taim are said is not because to say that it would only be usur in all the kavushim only because he said sha'ani taim. The reason, that's not the real reason, it's because he said kavish and not ha'kavish that you're usur in all them. But the reason why it says the word sha'ani taim is saying a chidush that even if you say sha'ani taim, it's only because you said kavish and not ha-kavish. But if you didn't say kavish, then you wouldn't be forbidden in all the things that are preserved. And the same thing would apply to all the halachas that Mishnah is going to say. When you say ha, the hey ha-yediya, that's the specific one, the one that's known, that means the one that's commonly used, which is the yirakas. But when you use kavish, that would include all of them. Now, however, there is another interpretation the Ram brings from those who explain that, no, the differentiation between these two cases is not because the first one said ha-kavish, the one that's preserved, and the other one said that it's kavish. Rather, the second case is, the reason why it's forbidden in all the kavushin is because he used the word shanitayim, where since you change and you add on the word shanitayim that I taste, why do you add on those words? That's an inclusive terminology to say that not only which is commonly pickled, but even those which are not, anything that's pickled is going to be forbidden. And according to this interpretation, that's also the same difference for all the cases that the Mishnah is going to talk about. Where the Mishnah continues and says, Minashalik, if someone says he's forbidden from the shalik, from that which is undercooked, medium rare, then Eina Asela Minashalik Shalbasa, then the person's only forbidden in that which is that of undercooked of meat, because meat is something that's commonly made in that state. But Shalik Shani Taim, but if he says that which is undercooked, I'm forbidden to taste, then Asa B'chala Shalukim, then he's forbidden in all the things that are shalik. Again, this is the same idea between the two different interpretations, if it's because he didn't say hashalak, or if it's because he said sha'ani tayim. Now, Omli Rav Acha Bereder of Avil Rav Ashi, he said, Omer di kavish mai. Let's say he didn't say hakavish, or neither did he say kavish. He said di kavish, that which is kavish, but with a dalet, not with a hey, which is an Aramaic way of saying di kavish, or di shalak mai, or di tzali mai, or that which is roasted, or demaliach mai, that which is salted. What's the halacha? And that is his question was, heichin mashma. What is the understanding of that term mean? So which the Ran says, depending on which interpretation in the Mishnah, he says, according to the first interpretation, that the primary difference is if you say ha kavish or kavish. So that's the Gemara's question, that when you use dish, di kavish, dish shalak with a dalid, does that also mean ha yedua, just like a hey, or not? Whereas according to the second interpretation, where the reason why it's inclusive of everything being usher is because you used the word sha'ani tayim, here the question is, yes, you didn't use ha-kavish, but you didn't say sha'ani tayim. You only said de-kavish. Would de-kavish be the same as sha'ani tayim or not? Because you didn't say kavish, you add on something more. You said dalid. Would that be the same or not? Nothing more says tibayi, let it stand. It's not clear what de-kavish would be like. And therefore, as the Ran said, that the halacha would be stringently in regards to making everything forbidden. Now the Mishnah continues on the same theme as the previous Mishnah. Minatzali, if he makes himself forbidden from that which is roasted with heyayidia, well then einasa ela benatzli shalbasa. Then you're only forbidden in that which is roasted meat. Divrei Behuda, but slish on the time he says from roasted meat that I will taste. Then nasa b'chalatzlim then is forbidden everything that's roasted. So too min hamaliach says from the salted thing, einasa ela benamaliach shaldug. Then it's only forbidden from fish which is commonly well salted. But if he says maliach on the time that I'm forbidden to taste some salted things, then nasa b'chalam aluchim then is forbidden in all salted things. Now that related to this of fish, the Mishnah continues. If let's say someone takes a neder, dag dogim shani taim, fish, I'm forbidden to taste, which there's a singular dag and the plural dog dogim, so then he's asa behen, then he's forbidden in fish, ben gedoyle ben getanim, whether large fish or small fish. And the reason is because since he said two different ways, two different terminologies of fish in the singular and fish in the plural, so the term dag sounds like large fish, because large fish are sold by themselves, whereas dogim, that which says fish in the plural, that indicates small fish, because they're sold only a lot at a time. No one's buying the small little fish. So therefore, saying dogim would be making it forbidden on large fish and small fish. And it's bein maluchim, bein tfalim, and that would also indicate whether they're salty or unsalted, bein chayim, bein mevasholim, whether they're raw or whether they're cooked. However, umutu b'taris trufa, he would be permitted in this large fish called taris, that's trufa, that's cut up into small pieces. And the reason why it's permitted is because both dag and dogim, although one is large, one is small, they both connote whole fish and not chopped up fish. And therefore, the neder did not include this chopped up taris. And all the more so, for sure, the person would be permitted ubitzir, which is the brine of fish, which is the juice that comes out of the fish, together with the intestines cut up into this, chopped up into this brine. And for sure you'd be permitted, as the Bach adds on, the Gir says, the Ran has it, uvamurius, and in the fish juice, which doesn't even have the intestines, just has the juice from the fish. And as the Ran says, this is what's commonly known as zuva ein tzarech loy mazukatani. In other words, fish that you're permitted in taris trufa, and for sure you're permitted in tzir, and for sure you're permitted murius, as we said, because dag dagim is only whole things, but that doesn't include chopped up, and for sure doesn't include if it's just the brine, and for sure it's not going to include if it's just the juice itself. Now, related, the Mishnah says, Hanoidim min ha-tzachano. Someone takes a neder from forbidding himself from tzachano, which are many small fish that are salted together. Now, there are those that are chopped up in this bunch, and there are some, and there are many that are whole. Now, so that the Mishnah tells us that since in this tzachana there are chopped up parts in there too, so asa b'taris trufa. So if you're making yourself forbidden from tzachana, which in that neder includes chopped up things, so therefore that would be inclusive the neder of this taris trufa too, which are also chopped up. But still, umutur b'tzir v'murius, you'd still be permitted in the brine and the fish juice, because in those things in tzir murius, you don't even have pieces of fish. There's only either the juice or the fats and the intestines, which are not chopped up piece of the fish itself, and therefore those things would not be included in the neder of tzachana. Now, hanoidim mitaris trufa, if someone takes a neder forbidding himself from this chopped up pieces of this large fish called taris, then aser b'tzir ubamurius, then he's forbidden in tzir and murius, which is a chiddush, which the Rush explains that since he specified that the taris that is forbidden in this trufa is chopped up, so that sounds like anything that's mixed in together from the parts of the fish, which would include tzir and murius, which are parts and components of the fish, and therefore those things are going to be included in the neder of taris and trufa. Now, however, actually the girsa of the Ran is that not that aser b'tzir v'murius, but rather that it's mutter b'tzir v'murius, which actually that would be the simple understanding why that should be, and that's because, just like we said by the noidim and atzachana, which seemingly is the same thing on some level like taris trufa, where they both have chopped up pieces, so we said that, yeah, if you make a neder from tzachana, you're forbidden taris trufa, but you'll be permitted in tzir murius, as we explained, because that doesn't have any, the tzir murius don't have any pieces of the fish like tzachana does and taris trufa has. So therefore it would make sense, like the Ran's girsa, that if someone makes a neder from taris trufa, it actually would be permitted in tzir murius, which don't have actual pieces of the fish itself. Now, the Ran points out two things, is that why doesn't it say regarding, it says when you take a neder from tzachana, what's the halacha regarding taris trufa tzir murius, But when it talks about Taras Trufa, it only mentions Tzir and Muris. It doesn't mention what's going to be the halacha regarding Tzachana. So the Ran explains, because you can't say that when you take a neder from Taras Trufa that either you're going to be Aser in Tzachana, or neither can you say you're going to be Mutar in Tzachana. The reason being is because actually you're going to be partly permitted in the Tzachana and partly forbidden. And that is because since Tzachana, as we explained before, has both whole pieces of fish and cut up pieces of fish, so actually the whole pieces you're permitted in, but only the chopped up pieces you're forbidden in, because that's what's like Taras Trufa, which are chopped up. And then there's only like what you made yourself forbidden on. Therefore, you can't say Asr or Mutter. You couldn't mention Tzachana because, yeah, part of it is Mutter and part of it is Asr. Now, moreover, the Ran points out, which we said seemingly, according to the Gears of the Ran, the fact that it's Mutter, Tzir, and Murius is pretty obvious. So the Ran says, actually, no, there is a Chiddush. And the reason being is because you would think, which is actually how the Rush says it according to our Girsa, is that since you took a neder from Taras, which is chopped up very small, so therefore you would say that maybe that would be similar to the Tzir and Murias, meaning it's different than Tzachana. Tzachana is, there are chopped up pieces, but not very small like Taras Trufa. So there you're right, you're going to be permitted in the Tzir and Murias. But you would think when you're making yourself forbidden from Taras Trufa, which are very small pieces, then it would be very similar to the Tzir and Murias, to the brine and to the fish sauce. Therefore, then you would say that it would be Aser, like Argus, like the Rush holds. That's what the Ran says. There's a Chiddush of the Mishnah that actually that it is going to be Mutter, again, not like the Girsa in our Mishnah. So the Gemara continues on this idea and brings Tanya Lutna Braisa. Shimon ben Laza Oimer, he says, Dag Shani Toim, if someone says that I'm forbidden to taste from fish, again, which is in the singular, Sin Asa Begadon, then he's forbidden in large fish. And the reason being is because when you say the term dag, that connotes large fish which are sold individually. Now the Ram brings from the Yerushalmi that any fish that's less than a litra is considered a small fish. But however, the Ram says that it really depends on the local where it is, depending on what's considered large and what's considered small. So therefore, if you say that you're making that from dag, the Braisa says in Mutter Beketan, so you'll be permitted in small fish, because small fish are not defined by dag, but rather as dogim. Now, if you say dagash any time, you say you're forbidden to taste daga, then asabegitanum or mutabegitanum, then you're actually forbidden in small fish, and you're permitted in large fish, because dag would connote a large one, but daga is what's the term used for small fish. But dag dagash any time, but if the person says fish, I'm not going to taste, one using the term dag and one daga, then asabegitanum, then it's forbidden both in large fish and in small fish. And the chiddush of this is that you shouldn't say that when he uses the second term of daga, that he's retracting, that originally he wanted to make himself forbidden on large fish, or he said dag, then at the end he retracted and he changed it to daga. That's the chiddush of the braisa. That no, we don't say that he was retracting when he used the second term, rather because he wanted to make himself forbidden from old times, so that's why he said dag and then daga. Now that the Gemara asks, I'm going to leave a papa labaya. He says, from where do we know that the term, as Reb Shimon ben Elazar is saying in the Braisa, the dag connotes large fish. The Chassid says the pasuk in Yoina, it says, "V'iman Hashem dag gadol avloyes Yoina." That Hashem prepared a large fish to swallow up Yoina. So therefore, you see, seemingly, that's a source. The dag means a large fish. But the problem is, Chassid, but this pasuk there says in Yoina, it says, "V'yispal Yoina l'Hashem alikav mimi hadaga." The Yoina daven to Hashem is God from the intestines of the fish, and they use the term daga. So how can you tell me the dag means large and daga means small, when the same fish, which seemingly you bring a proof that it means large because it uses dag, it refers to it with the term daga, which you're saying means small. So on that, Abaya answers, holikash, that's not a difficulty, because dilma palte dag gadol ubali dag katan. Maybe because you're right, there's two different fish. The first fish, which was large, as it says, dag, spit out yoina, and then a smaller fish went and swallowed up yoina, and that's the stomach that he was davening from, was from the daga. Now, the Ram points out, although obviously the second fish that swallowed him must have been large, because it has a human being inside of it, and definitely it's larger than the litra, which was the defining line from the Yerushalmi, but it was just called small relative to the first one, and that's why it's called daga. And rather, so the Gemara, Rav Papa asks from a different pasuk. Pasuk in Shemai says that v'hadoga asher b'yor mesa, that the fish which were in the rivers died, as the pasuk there says in Shemai's Perek Zayin pasuk of Aleph, v'yivash yor, and that the river started getting spoiled, stinky, v'lo yochlem mitzayim lishtas mayim, and the Egyptians couldn't drink from the water from the river. But he had dam b'chol etzim tzayim, and the blood was in the whole entire Egypt. This was by makis dam in Mitzrayim. So the question is, ketana mesu gedoyim loy mesu? What do you think? Only the small fish died and the large fish didn't die? Because the pasuk there says hadaga, which you said daga means small fish. Now that can't be, because since obviously the rivers all turned into blood, definitely all fish died, whether big or small. So how can you say that daga means small fish, where the pasuk there seemingly is referring to even large fish? So rather, the Gemara answers, daga mashma gedoyim mashma ketana. You're right. Obviously, when the pasuk in Mishmais is saying daga, it doesn't mean just small fish, it means large fish too. But, as we mentioned many times, ubenedarim halach ach lashem v'ni'adam. By a neder, we go based on what people usually mean when they refer to certain terms, and when people use the term dag, they mean to large fish, and daga means small fish, although biblically you're right, the term daga can mean both, and possibly dag too. However, when people talk, that's what we mean, and that's where the halach is, dag means large, and daga means small. Now the Mishnah said, "Hanoidim in a tzachana." If someone takes a neder, forbidding himself from tzachana again, which we said is this lot of salted fish all together, where there's some hole and some broken up pieces. So we said that he's mutter in tzir and muryas, and he's only going to be forbidden in the taras trufa, which is similar in the sense of that it has broken pieces, whereas tzir and muryas is totally not broken pieces of fish itself. Now on this, Amalei Ravina Ravashi, he asked, "Amar haleir harei alai tzichin mai." If the person didn't say tzachana, he said that it's forbidden to me to have tzichin. On that, the question is, would that even make him forbidden not only in the Taras Trufa, but even in the Tzir and the Muryas, or not? And that is, the Gemara's question is, that the reason why these small preserved fish are called tzachana is because of the brine that comes out of it has this very pungent smell, like a smelly type of fish smell, which, as the pasuk says, "V'tal tzachanase," which is this bad, harsh smell that comes out of it. Now that's why it's called tzachana. Now that was the Ravina's question. That is, when he says tzichin, tzachana is the singular. When he says tzichin, which sounds like many, now, and that is what the question was: would that also include the tzir and murias or not? Because the whole reason, actually, why it's called tzachana is because of the tzir. Now tzir is not included generally, because tzachana, although that has that odor and that from the tzir, and that's what's called tzachana, but it's really whole pieces of fish or broken pieces of fish, and therefore the neder would not refer to also the brine and from the fish jaws. But on that, the question is, when you say tzichin, which is an inclusive term, which are adding on more things, would that also go so far as to include even the tzir and the murias, and that would be included in the neder or not? On that, the Gemara concludes, Tzibai, let it stand. It's not clear if tzichin would include that or not.